little bit of, I mean, obviously some fundamental work, some good on good things, and also getting a jump on Northwestern. Got a little bit of recruiting in. You know, back to basics in a lot of instances, and working on getting better.
Typical
bi-week structure.
Does the turnover margin need to change a little bit? The turnovers were also not making a lot of takeaways. How do you kind of explain where you guys are at and what you're doing to work on?
Well, I mean, it's an area we focus on, we talk about, and obviously we got to protect the ball better, and we got to take advantage of our opportunities. You know, when we have the opportunities to get the ball out, that comes from execution.
Well, can you focus
too much on turnovers, though, where players are overthinking it?
No. I mean, turnovers come from being in the right place and making plays when you're there. And once again, it comes from execution.
Looking over the film from that Ohio State game, could you put your finger on why it turned at when you kind of studied it defensively for you?
I think I addressed that. It's lack of execution, and that falls on me.
Well, when you said after the game that you guys needed to go ahead and win the final six to get where you wanted to go, talking to Ben Cotton, he said that seemed to be a little bit of a different tack, you know, as far as approach to it. I guess what was behind that as far as, you know, making that statement, throwing down the gauntlet, so to speak?
What do you mean?
Well, just as far as your approach, I mean, I think you meant for the players to hear that, right?
Absolutely. Well, it's week to week. I mean, I don't change our process, but I know this, that if you went out, you control your own destiny. That's what I meant. It's nice to be in a position where you control your own destiny. And the only way we stay in control of our own destiny is by winning out.
What are your thoughts on Ben Mark and Kane Coulter in the run game that Northwestern has?
Say again.
What are your thoughts on the running back at Northwestern and Kane Coulter as well?
Good players. Good offense. They do a lot of good things. You know, Kane Coulter's he's a kind of a multifaceted guy. I mean, he's dangerous as a quarterback, good as a wide receiver. So you got to be prepared for, you know, whoever shows up at quarterback, and you also got to be prepared to deal with Kane no matter where he lines up.
Is that more difficult not knowing that they can line him up in so many different areas?
No, you just got to be aware of where he is, you know, the offense doesn't change a whole heck of a lot. They might feature a little bit different plays when he's in there, but you know, they can run their full gamut of their offense no matter who's a quarterback.
Are there any certain characteristics that you see that you can expect from a Fitzgerald coach team?
I think they're well coached and they're sound and they play hard. I mean, I think Pat's a heck of a coach, good football coach.
Are there any similarities in how you game play for Kane Coulter and what you had played for Brax Hill?
Different offenses. There are some similarities, like any other, spread type offense, quarterback type offense. But you know, there's some similarities. There are a lot of differences, and it comes down to, it's not as much what you do; it's how you do it. And if we execute, we'll be fine.
How rare is it to see a team run a successful two-quarterback system the way they do it?
Say again?
I mean, how rare is it to see a team run a successful two-quarterback system the way they do it? You don't see a lot of teams have a lot of success.
No, you don't. I mean, you just don't see it a lot. And, you know, I'd have to talk to – I'm not exactly sure why they do it. I mean, I know they must like, obviously, both quarterbacks. And you know, is it a combination of, you know, liking what – Kane Coulter brings at the wide receiver position besides what he does at the quarterback position? I don't know all the reasons behind it, but I think what they do is, you know, it doesn't change a lot what they do offensively, which allows them to do it. You know, I mean, if they, it's not like it's two completely different packages, which I think, you know, other than changing out the quarterback and you know, getting Kane Coulter reps at both spots, you know, it's probably not as hard for them as, you know, some other people where they have to run two completely different offenses for two different skill sets. That would be hard to do because it would be hard to practice that way.
Who are some of the player leaders in the last week that you felt really stepped up vocally with the team and kind of took charge of?
I'd say the same guys, but you know, our team was pretty quiet last week, and kind of took a workman's like approach, and they understand what's in front of them. They have a good understanding of what we need to do, and you know, it's hard, you know, especially a game like that, after a game like that, to have a bye week. You know, I think our guys are. They're looking forward to Saturday, to say the least.
Did you want a quiet team last week? Is that what you aimed?
Is that what I wanted?
Yeah.
I wanted an angry team. I think that's what I got right now. That's how you deal with it. You know, it's one thing to be upset, as long as you could have a varying amount of emotion. It's how you deal with it. It's how you channel it going forward and what you do about it. That's what's in front of us.
Hey, Bo, you've been in this position quite a bit in the last 4.5 years where, you know, you guys kind of feel like their backs are against the wall a little bit. And generally, you play really well in those positions. Psychologically, you know, what are the common threads, you know, in those situations where a team plays well in this situation versus when a team kind of panics, it doesn't play well.
You know, like I said, you know, I think, Dirk, it comes back down to execution, no matter what your emotions are, no matter what your, I guess you could say, motivations are. It comes back down to, you know, to your preparation and to executing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in life, you got to get hit in the mouth to pick up your resolve and get back to the realization that, you know, it's not just going to happen for me for whatever reason. You know, you got to earn it. You get what you earn in this world, and that it doesn't just happen on Saturday. It just doesn't happen for that 60 minutes. It's all the things that go up into allowing you to have the success. And it's why I have the philosophy of staying with, you know, just staying focused so much on the process, on the day-to-day of what's going to allow you to do that. And because I understand. I've been around this game long enough to know that you can get off kilter really quick. And when you do, you know, this is a humbling sport, and you got to have tremendous respect for the game that we play. You know, it's the ultimate team sport, and you got to be hitting on all cylinders, and you have to prepare accordingly for no matter what situation you're going into, knowing that if you're not hitting on all cylinders, you can get humbled in a second.
That loss 9 days ago, I mean, clearly it hit you really hard. You know, clearly it was a humbling experience. Did you question your own process after a result like that?
No, and I believe in my process. I've been around it long enough to have in what I'm trying to do. I believe because I know that the process works. But obviously, I question and turn over every leaf. You know, turn over every rock, look under every leaf to find out where we got off of that process, why what happened. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, I'm not one that sits there and looks at it and says it just happened by chance. You know, you got to, you know, continually look for solutions and ways to make it better so it doesn't happen again. And, you know, it's not... Some things you can put a finger on, some things you can't put a finger on. And, you know, and at the end of the day, it's not magical. it comes back down to preparation and execution and continuing to educate your guys on how important that is. Continue to develop a better understanding of what you're doing and fundamentally doing what you're taught to do. And, you know, that falls back on the coaching.
Did you have to ask yourself, you know, what things can I fix now? What things do I need to fix in March or April?
Oh, yeah, I've you know, as a head coach, you think about all those things, especially during a bye week when you got a lot of time to think. And I'm not going to get into all that right now, but yeah, I you know, you go through all the, you short term and long term.
What's the definition of the process?
Do what you have to do everything in your power in that particular day to prepare yourself and to be the best you possibly can that day.
But what can you do to, say, get your team to a point where they don't need that function of mind to whip them in shape, so to speak?
It's a good question. But, you know, you can, it happens in sport. That's athletics. That's competition. That's sports. You know, if it's, you know, we're not alone. I promise you that. You just look, you watch every single day. You just watch across athletics. That's one of the greatest challenges that you have in sports. It's the greatest challenge you have as a football coach, is how do you get, in our case, 140 guys, you know, every week going in the exact same direction, preparing in a certain way, believing everything you know, understanding, you know, having total respect for the game, their job, and everything that goes into it, and to prepare yourself for that particular week.
Is part of one of the solutions included maybe challenging the scout team? No.
Our scout team plays hard. I promise you that. I mean, like any other thing, they've had their off days, but our scout teams do a pretty good job.
Do you have a scout teamer who can properly emulate Braxton Miller, Kane Colter, and our runs? Do you have anybody who can give you that kind of look?
Oh, yeah. It's not. It's, you know, let me tell you, and I'm not taking anything away from Braxton Miller or anybody else. You have to make plays when you get there. When you're there, and but first of all, first and foremost, you have to be in the right positions, and you have to play your techniques. You know, at the end of the day, it wasn't what we were doing against in that football game, or a lot of the other things that have happened to us. And it's executing, and a lot of those things are little detail things. And you know, I'm not going to get into it, but at the end of the day, we didn't execute. We weren't enough into the details and the reads and what we had to do preparation-wise, and we didn't react the right way. And when that happens, especially in a quarterback-oriented offense where they're running two-back style running plays with a quarterback, you have to be right. And you have to have guys, people have to be prepared, people have to be executing, and everybody has to handle their responsibility. And if you don't do that, you're going to look bad. And, you know, the ironic part of it is, I thought that the one, I think I talked about this, is when we did, I thought the play that little bit jolted us defensively before the turnover, kind of when they got their second touchdown, is, you know, we had them surrounded by four guys and missed. And you know, we had guys there. We, you know, the kid made a great play, and he made some people miss and got out for the long run. But it was like from that, for whatever reason, from that point on, our guys, I felt like we lost our mojo a little bit. We lost, our guys stopped, we started doing things that were out of character, and bam, pretty soon, you know, it snowballed on us. And that, you got to go to the next play. That's part of the process that Eric asked about. Part of the process is go to the next down. You can't let the one play have a certain thing that happens to you affect you the next play, the next play, the next play. You have to go to the next play. You have to execute the next play. Forget about what happened. Have a short memory and go. And for whatever reason, I didn't feel like that happened to us. And I thought it happened to us a little bit the other night on both sides of the football. Or, you know, whatever it was, 9 days ago, however long ago it was, that we let some things affect us instead of continuing on and relying on our execution and continuing to take care of us. And, you know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Can different players, younger players, change? I mean, do you look at different players on defense to maybe fix that?
Well, you know, it's if we looked, yeah, we've been mixing guys around a little bit, but no, it's late in the year to what I've learned in situations like this is, you know, like I think Dirk talked about it. There's short-term solutions and there's long-term solutions. And short-term, you know, you got to go with what you feel gives you the best opportunity to win right now. And I think we're doing that. And, you know, you stay the course, you don't panic, and you stay with what you believe is going to carry you through. And I think that's what we're doing as a coaching staff and a football team.
The guys you had the right guys on the field against Ohio State. They just didn't do the right thing.
In some cases, yes.
Hey, Bo, why is there, I mean, it goes back a year and a half, maybe farther, but you guys, the execution gap or the difference in performance between, you know, facing a pro-style quarterback and a dual threat guy is really dramatic. And I'm sure you've looked at it really closely, but what's the issue there? Why does that continue to be a problem?
Because you know what, Dirk? When you screw up in a pro style offense, you know, if you miss your execution or somebody screws up in a pro style offense or a non spread quarterback run type offense, it's a lot easier for somebody to make up for you. And when that happens in a quarterback offense where you're spread out and you have a lot of different things, you're spread out all over the field, those mistakes become magnified big time. And that's probably the best way of explaining it. You're going to get magnified a lot more in it against especially one where the quarterback is going to make plays with his feet. You know, it adds a whole nother gap. It holds a whole nother level of responsibility. And some guys have dual responsibility. And when you miss, it's going to get magnified a lot more.
You were sending guys pretty regularly in the first quarter the other night. I mean, it seemed like you were blitzing pretty heavy in the first quarter. Did you stop doing that later in the game, or did they make an adjustment that made it harder to send linebackers and DBs?
No, I mean, we didn't really change much as the game went on. But, we screwed up a couple plays where we brought guys, and like I told the defense, I say when we mis-execute things, when we have a chance to make a play, it makes it harder, you know, because, you know, you are taking some chances at times when you're bringing people, and it makes it a little bit harder to call some things when you have your opportunities and you don't get it, because pretty quick, some of those plays can become big in a hurry. And, we continued to pressure at times, and, you know, unfortunately, we had a couple opportunities we just didn't take advantage of.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference in Lincoln here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Where's that competition stand? Is Stanley right now?
I thought Stanley played really well against Ohio State. I thought he did a good job.
Is he the guy there right now, or is that competition for even, or how you look?
That competition always continues every day. You know, there is no guy. You got to earn it every day when you walk out onto the field.
Is that more of a matchup thing with Stanley?
Well, it was a matchup thing going into the Ohio State game, but I thought he played really well. And there's some things that I believe, you know, there's some things I think he does really well. I think there's some things that he doesn't do as well as a couple of the other guys. And, it kind of all depends on what you're doing and how he fits in a particular game plan.
How will you practice Rex this week? Do you know how much workload for Rex out there is?
Yeah, you know what? He's doing well. He had a really good weekend and came back today, and he's feeling pretty good, so we'll kind of ease him into it. I don't know if it'll be a normal workload early in the week, but it'll progress to that.
And Tim,
Tim Marlowe got cleared this week too. What do you do with him in the mix now?
Play him. I mean, he's a good player. We're excited that Timmy's back.
I mean, Rex's backup right now is pretty good. So do you feel like maybe there's a little less pressure to put him in as much because you know Amir's proved himself over 6 games?
Well, you know, I've said all along, I feel good about Amir, and I feel real good about Braylon, and also what Amani can bring. But trust me when I tell you, you know, Rex is a special player. It means a lot to our football team. When he's ready, when he's sitting on all cylinders, he's going to get his touches.
Hey, Bo, you said defensively you thought your guys kind of lost their mojo just a tad bit after that long run. Did they set that out? Once you pointed it out, did they even?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really, you're black and white when you watch the film, and you point it out, our guys were sick sick to their stomach, same way I was, because, you know, the way I look at it is, I didn't prepare him well enough to execute. You know, I mean, I don't look at it and say, "Hey, you know, what we do works. It's drawn up to work." At the end of the day, if our players aren't executing, it falls on myself and the coaches first and foremost. That's how I look at it. And figuring out and moving forward is, you know, how are we going to get this fixed? And it's about, you know, it's about a better understanding. It's about continuing to work, continuing to make sure they understand every last detail of what you're doing and how it relates to the team you're playing. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all, you know, coaches and players alike, we're all in this thing together. And we got to do what we have to do to get it right.
Would you ever alter at midseason the pace and structure of your offense to assist your defense?
In other words,
it's going to stay no huddle.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bo, I meant to ask you about this earlier, follow-up. As far as the winning out challenge that was issued, if there's a slip-up along the way, do you at all think there's a risk then of having it be detrimental mentally to your guys if there is a slip-up?
No. I mean, I guess, you know, when I say my goal going into the year, and our players have heard it before, to win them all. That's going into the year. That's my expectation. That's our team's expectation. So trust me, my message to our football team, what it was 2 weeks ago and what it is today, it's no different. And, you know, I don't talk about, you know, I was just making a comment saying, if we win out, it takes care of itself, period. But that doesn't change my day-to-day message for our football team. I've never talked about what's ahead or about, you know, a championship here or let's go here, let's do this. It's a consistent message. It's today. All I'm worried about is Monday and what our football needs to do this day to get better and to get prepared for Northwestern. That's all I care about. But that has never changed, and our team fully understands that.
Hey, Bo, last year on defense over the bye week, you made some changes that really helped going forward. You shut down Minnesota, you shut down Michigan State. Did you learn anything from that experience where you had those 13 days last year that you could take into this experience?
I think so. I think you always, you know, you learn things along the way, and. You know, what I've never done is panicked in this situation. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time looking at our football team, what we have going forward, continue to make decisions and develop our game plans to get better as we go forward, as the year goes on. And that's what I tried to do this week. And I think, you know, I kind of like where we are heading into this game. And, You know, I think our guys will respond the right way. I really do. And, you know, that's a challenge going forward. We got, you know, going in, onto the road at Northwestern and against a good football team.
Hey, Bo, what do you like the way Taylor played against Ohio
State? I thought he was good when he was good, and I thought he was I thought there was a lot of things that he needs to fix. And there's some, you know, we can't you know, he'd be the first one to tell you. We can't have the turnovers. We can't have the, it's really no different than the rest of our football team. We need consistency. And for the most part, going into this game, he's been making pretty sound decisions and good reads and using the offense to his advantage. He went away from that a couple times during that game, and it cost us. Like the rest of us, he's got to learn from the things that happened to him.
That's almost his mindset, though. It's his personality is that on the football field, at least, he does want to, especially in a game like that, he wants to be the guy who makes the play, or he wants to win.
Absolutely. I want him to want to win. But you got it, like, once again, wanting to do the things that get you what you want. That's what you got to want to do. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to do well. But, you know, at the end of the day, you win through execution. You win, you know, it's not, you're not going to sit there and you don't play great by you play great by doing what you're being taught to do consistently. That's what this sport is all about. That's what team football, that's what championship football is all about.
Do you put any of those on him, or are those plays you can't control because
they're
blinds that hit?
No, I put it on him, and obviously it's a team game. There are other guys involved in that, but he's got to put the ball away.
And on third down, when your offense is in those third and long situations, it's tough, obviously, but is there anything you guys can do differently to just have a little bit better success when you know that you have to pass this third and 10?
Yeah, they're number one, not end up in that situation, and so some of that will happen. Some of that is by executing better on first and second down and making sure you're not putting yourself in, which penalties got us into that position some the other day. And it's about executing on early downs and not putting yourself in third and long when it is. Yes, there's some other things that we can do to make sure that we're in a more advantageous situation for everybody involved on that third and long. So we're looking at that was part of our study during the bye week.
Anything else for Coach?
Anything else? Thanks.